Welcome back to the Nerdcast Interviews. This is Jay, and earlier today I got to meet with Tebow. He's the culture czar for Breckenridge Brewery. They're in town for their Breck Trek tour, and they were doing a pub crawl at one of the local places that was an art show as well. Breck Trek is their way to introduce the Colorado culture to the rest of the United States. We talked about the trek, the brewery in general, and a little bit of comic book information. Sorry about the sound. We recorded in the basement of a bar, and the sound quality is not the best, but it's still a pretty good interview.
A lot going on with this?
Yeah, today's kind of like the most, not complicated day, but just the most elements.
Yeah.
Where yesterday basically was, yeah, you want me talking to that?
Sure, go ahead.
Yesterday was mostly just our beer dinner. We did a little bit of work in the market and that kind of stuff.
So yeah.
Today is a little more involved with the bar crawl.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we pick up all the pieces and we head just over to the Hollywood Casino and the band that we're traveling with.
Paper Bird.
Concert tomorrow. Yeah, Paper Bird. So, yeah. So tomorrow's pretty easy.
Yeah.
We're usually really hungover by then anyway, so not moving very fast.
Well, I can imagine. So tonight's the art show. You brought artists from Colorado?
Yeah. So what this is called the Sticky Situation Art Show.
Okay.
And what the Sticky Situation Art Show is along with us and a company in Denver called Ink Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they produce images that would shoot. We use them when we want to put graphics on a truck, a distributor truck or something like that. So they'll make that kind of stuff. They have put images on the side of a building, four stories high type of thing.
Wow.
So the whole idea behind the Sticky Situation art show is to take art, make a big sticker,
yeah,
and really kind of, and then kind of a faux brick wall that we put it on.
So, yeah,
some of these images you can see that it's kind of that fake brick stuff that, you know, maybe your grandparents had in their basement, you know,
yeah,
along with the wood paneling. But so they are all Colorado artists that we went to and said some of them we worked for in the past. We make a snowboard with another local Colorado company called Never Summer Industries, and they make snowboards and skateboard decks and stuff like that. But we'll pick an artist, and they create art for a snowboard.
Yeah.
So some of these guys have done those snowboards in the past, but there are eight artists that we travel with their art. And we went to them and said, what is Breckenridge Brewery and what is art to you? Or excuse me, Breckenridge Brewery and Colorado, and create a piece of art.
Well, these are very cool pieces. I mean, I could see a lot of these on snowboards or skateboards.
Oh, yeah, totally so. Yeah, definitely so.
So how did the Breck Trek come about?
Oh, it was just time to travel.
Yeah.
One thing, and I've been with the brewery for, this is my 22nd year with Breckenridge Brewery, and one of the coolest things, I think, selling Breckenridge beer is not only that we're a craft brewery,
yeah,
and also in kind of our culture, and then the culture of Colorado.
Yeah.
And it actually makes selling beer from Colorado really easy.
Yeah.
So, heck yeah, let's take it on the road type of thing.
Cause yeah.
Certainly people make that journey to not only our brewery in Colorado, but other Colorado breweries. So we're trying to take that on the road. And you know, again, with the art show, with the band Paper Bird playing. So just all Colorado stuff, and then certainly Colorado beer.
So you're going all over the country. What's been the response so far?
It's been great. And we've been in some crazy places, too. I mean, not crazy, but all over the place.
Yeah.
So this is actually our, is it the fifth stop? Let's see. We started, the very first one was in Dallas. Then we went to L.A., then Orlando, New York, and yes, St. Louis is number five. So, and truthfully, St. Louis, I think we finally hit our stride and kind of worked out kinks and what it should be and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
The ones prior to this, some things were more popular than others.
Yeah.
But so far this week, things have been pretty buttoned up and working out really well.
So give us a little background on the brewery.
Sure. We're in our 27th year. Really kind of more or less born in the town of Breckenridge, Colorado. February 7th, 1990 is when we first started to brew beer up there.
Wow.
And then I like to say we were born in Breckenridge, but we really kind of grew up in Denver.
Okay.
Because we still brew at that original brew pub up in Breckenridge.
Yeah.
Our brew pub, which is my favorite place in the whole world. Specifically that brew pub. I like to say, if you've ever been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's very unique as far as brew pubs go, as far as how the brewing equipment is set up.
Yeah.
There's the bar, and then right behind the bar is actually the brew house and the fermenters.
Oh, wow.
So I call it the altar of beer.
I
feel like I'm at church. and if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't been there and you go there, you'll be like, aha, because you are. You're at the altar of church, or the altar of beer. And then the brewery we started brewing in Denver in 1992. We were at capacity at that brew pub in Breckenridge.
Yeah.
Your typical brew pub. Brewing, I think the most we've ever squeezed out of there is about 1,200 barrels of beer.
Okay.
But it should operate at about 800 barrels a year.
Yeah.
So that's what it does now. We're able to brew beer down in Denver and even ship up some of our flagship beers, Vanilla Porter, Avalanche, and all that kind of stuff, more for consistency. And then Jimmy, our head brewer up in Breck, really kind of experiment. You know, I like to say I have the greatest job at the brewery, being culture czar, which means I just throw a bunch of parties and talk about beer all the time. Jimmy actually may have the best job. He skis by day or mountain bikes and then brews beer whenever you can kind of squeeze it in. And he can dream up anything.
Wow.
So working for a brewery our size, Jimmy doesn't have to brew Vanilla Porter every single day like our brewers down at the brewery in Denver does. He can whatever he wants to do, and he's the future of the brewery.
Yeah. So is he the one that created, what is it, the 471 series, the barrel aged?
That one was actually created by Todd, our brewmaster.
Okay.
471 IPA was actually, as far as we know, if not the first, one of the very first double IPAs from Colorado.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily a style that we brewed in Colorado however many years. The time escapes me. Too many beers, too many brain cells gone. But 471 IPA was our very first double IPA, and Todd always liked beer that has a good balance, of hops and malt. So it had a pretty sturdy backbone of malt, not just a punch in your face of hops. And and then we named that beer out of our brewery that we actually are more of our production facility that we just moved away from about 2 years ago. But it was just south of downtown Denver, and the address there is 471 Kalamazoo Street.
Gotcha.
I kind of give away what the name is.
Yeah,
I know, and everybody goes, "Oh, it's the address." It's not as exciting as a cool story, but yeah, it pays homage to where, you know, like I said, we were born in Breckenridge, and what I was going to say, I think we grew up in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, we spent 18 years at 471 Kalamazoo Street, so it's hallowed ground without a doubt. But and then we started to mess around with it as everybody came out with a double IPA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Todd kind of decided we not only needed to take a double IPA, but also introduce some barrel aging to it.
Right.
And that's the 471 series is basically 471. We start with 471, our double IPA,
mm-hmm.
barrel age it.
Yeah.
Some way. It's different every single time.
Yeah.
And then, because it is a hoppier beer and barrel aging, you know, the hops kind of fade away a little bit.
Yeah.
Todd will come back in and dry hop it with a particular hop.
Okay.
So, for instance, here on tap at Llewellyn's, we have 471 IPA. Barrel aged series that's been dry hopped with Citra hops.
Okay.
I think the last one that we just did was with Eureka hops.
Yeah, I think I just had that one.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've done a whole melon. I think Simcoe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't name them all.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
I felt like I needed to do a little extra research for this, so I picked up a bottle over the weekend.
Oh, right on. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. So how did you come about the job of Culture Czar?
Well, being one of our very first sales reps, kind of cruising around and selling beer, and like I said, I've been with the brewery for 22 years, so and that was way back in the beginning. Certainly, yes, we were already a brew pub, brewing some beer, but then the craziness and... I don't know, trials and tribulations of putting together a production brewery.
Yeah.
Back in the day of where nothing really was built for our size brewery. So certainly a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Ones that a lot of times I could sit on the sidelines and kind of watch as our brewers and bottling line guys were freaking out and staying up all night and trying to make the bottling line work and stuff like that. But on the road, a lot of stories and just growing a brewery and blazing trails where no one really had. We were the third craft brewery in the state of Colorado, so really weren't a whole lot of models. And so somebody had to keep all the stories.
Yeah.
And the stories are there in my head. It's funny, you look back. Some of them, you would do some crazy thing and you would almost bankrupt the entire company and you were wondering, are we going to get a paycheck on Friday? What did we just do? We, of course, now look back on it and laugh and giggle and go, well, we think it's kind of fun. So they become funny stories.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of the keeper of those. And I was our sales and marketing director for a while and doing all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to say I'm in my twilight years. I'm only 51 now. But it's time to, tell those stories and cruise around and really celebrate who we are and what Colorado craft beer is. So I'm the guy that does that. So whether it be education, events, we have a lot of, I'm in charge of all of our events, and I have a team that we work all of our beer festival, 200-person beer festival around the country. I kind of roll with that team, and then we do big events at our brewery.
Yeah.
We're real into music, and we have an event called the Hootenanny, which actually today we just started selling tickets. We released a lineup for that.
Yeah.
And mostly on the bluegrass side, our Hootenanny typically is, and it's meant to be just a big old family party. So I'm the guy, and with the couple guys on my team, I throw those parties.
So can you share any of the really good stories? Are they not appropriate to be sharing?
No. Some aren't appropriate. I do remember when we had our old brew pub, when we first moved into Denver, or opened up the brew pub in Denver in 1992. I believe it was December of 1992. We had two buildings there, and it was Skid Row. It was a sketchy, terrible, terrible area. And the funny thing there is, about 8 months after we operated that brew pub, the city of Denver decided they were going to build Coors Field, where the Colorado Rockies play, right across the street. So we were one of very few businesses down in that area.
Yeah.
It took them a while to get that stadium open. It didn't open until 1995.
Right.
We used to work down there, and it was one of those things. If you were doing work at that brew pub, and all of our offices were in the old warehouse, which has been torn down, and now there's some fancy apartments right there called I think they're called the Diamond Lofts because you look right over Coors Field. But if you were there after a certain time, you didn't leave.
Yeah,
and we had cots in the old warehouse, and we'd take showers in the chemical shower. If you've ever felt the water out of chemical shower, it's like the water is unrestricted as far as strength of how it's flying through there.
Yeah.
And it's colder than cold. if you were stuck down there, and it always seemed like there were a couple of us, and we'd just hang out in the warehouse and drink beer all night long and maybe sleep on a cot right there in the offices for a couple hours. But
the sleeping sounds rough, but sitting there drinking makes up for it, I think.
Yeah, every once in a while we'd go, and it's actually one of my favorite bars in downtown Denver now. It's a bar called Star Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of craft brewers definitely know the Star Bar. It becomes kind of the center of the universe for those of us in the industry during Great American Beer Fest. The Star Bar back then, when we first opened the brew pub, we would try and go in there a couple times, you know, with about four strong, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever finished a beer in there because you got ran out of there.
Yeah.
It was a scary place. So it's kind of funny now that it's so very craft beer and craft cocktail centric.
Yeah.
Same old bar. The floor still leans and the cooler door still leans, but it looks like the whole place is caving in and it smells terrible, but that's part of the wonderful charm for it. But yeah, there's a ton of stories. I don't know. Strange things trigger. So as we talk, maybe something will come up.
Okay.
I'll tell you something embarrassing.
All right. So I know within the last few years, AB has actually purchased the brewery.
Ooh.
AB.
Totally kidding.
Yeah. We don't know who they are in St.
Yeah,
Louis. So
St. Louis. That's true.
So how's that impacted running the brewery? I know there's been some issues with the Craft Beer Guild in Colorado.
Yeah, they're not real happy with us. And it's kind of, you know, I totally understand. You know, the folks that are part of the Colorado Craft Beer Brewers Guild, and I sat on a number of committees for many, many years with the Colorado Brewers Guild, the marketing committee, and the membership committee of all. And then Todd, the president of our company, who's been with the brewery a few years longer than I have. He's been there like almost from day one. So I think he might be right around 26, 27 years. But he served on the board of the Craft Brewers Guild. And actually, when we were acquired by Anheuser-Busch, he was actually the president of the Colorado Craft Brewers Guild. So I'm just saying how complicated everything is. And,
right.
And so, yeah, it got a little sticky. We certainly had some consumers that they probably still hate our guts.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. That's fine. That's the cool thing about craft beers is we can all make those decisions. And if we want to stay, devoted to, as they say, fiercely independent, that's cool. A lot of people in the industry, I don't want to speak for them, but what I can kind of tell, and after a number of conversations,
mm-hmm.
like what's happening, and that wasn't me asking, that was them, I think a lot of people have understood why the decision was made for Breckenridge Brewery. I personally have no vested interest.
Right.
I didn't get a big check, and I'm not going to tell you nothing changes.
Yeah.
But because things did change, and
yeah.
And in my opinion, everything that I've seen, it's gotten better.
Yeah.
You know, is it a little bit more corporate? Well, yeah. How can it not be?
Right.
It's a humongous corporation, so certainly certain processes are in place now.
Yeah.
Not to slam anybody in our brewery, but from all the years, I mean, when I first came on board, I created an expense report in an Excel program.
Yeah.
And we used that probably for 19 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never had a computer class in my life. I'm not first in Excel. What the heck are we still doing my, 19-year-old expense report?
So, right.
You know, and a big part of it was, okay, what do we spend money on? Do we buy brewing equipment or do we buy, a fancy way to report expenses?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we'll figure that one out along the way. So, you know, stuff like that. And then certainly when AB came in, you know, we had a wish list.
Yeah.
and so did that.
Yeah.
And probably the biggest thing that has honestly changed for Breckenridge Brewery is we were forced to make better beer.
Yeah.
And maybe we were just comfortable. I'm not a brewer. I'm a beer drinker. I always say there are people that make beer. I don't need to do that. But, our brewers did what they could do with the equipment that we could afford. And so, yeah, part of that stipulation of, your beer needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a slam. It was just, we're going to help you make it better.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure it has a better shelf life.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't go crazy as it sits on a warm shelf like all of our craft beer does in a lot of liquor stores across the United States, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
So with them saying make better beer and improve your processes and we said okay.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and said okay. And now what do you need to do that?
Right.
And they haven't really forced anything on us other than, you know, some, again, some process. And our brewery's become definitely safer.
Yeah.
I never had to walk through our brewery before with a safety vest on, which I would highly recommend because, you know, over the years we've had angry hippies on forklifts and they
right.
will run you over. So now people are safer. A lot of that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
it's, you know, maybe, you know, we say, you know, I say we grew up in Denver over those 18 years at 471 Calumet, but I think we became more professional.
Right.
Within the last year with Anheuser-Busch, with their help.
Well, I mean, you have to give them credit because they brew the same beer and it tastes exactly the same for how many years, so it's going to improve quality.
Absolutely so.
Yeah.
Modern day brewing, basically invented by Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
And then that's not a slam to any other brewer, but yeah.
Yeah.
They're, you know, whether you like their beer or not, whether you like Bud or Bud Light, that's not, you know, the question.
Right.
But how they do it, pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure they feel your pain with everything that's gone on out there, because when they got bought by InBev,
sure.
a lot of people here said, well, I'm not going to drink their beer anymore because it's not our local beer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. On a very personal level, I would say, you know, do I want to work for a humongous company like that? I don't know. I don't know if that's really the way I operate. I mean,
yeah.
I'm still the guy that I live in a really cool neighborhood, you know, much like St. Charles here, that has kind of a business district, and
yeah.
there's a chain coffee shop across the street and an independent on the other side of the street, and
yeah.
I prefer to go the independent one. Is it better coffee? I haven't really done that taste test, but does it feel better at the independent one? It works for me. Or
yeah.
you know, the chairs are all broken.
Right.
you know, and sometimes they're out of certain kind of coffees, but I don't know. That's some kind of the charm. Is it the right way to do business? Probably not.
Right.
But yeah, you feel good about it. And I totally connect with that, and I get that.
Yeah, and the other thing with AB is, I mean, they're going to give you wider distribution, then you can touch more markets that you wouldn't have touched before.
Yeah, you know, that's probably the biggest thing, you know, that brewing, you know, like I said, I'm not a brewer, so, you know, I can kind of speak to what the brewers, you know, just from conversations on the distribution side is more of what I've done over the years.
Yeah.
And that truly, when I say it was the right decision for Breckenridge Brewery, we were at a point, not only Breckenridge, but the business is changing.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of saw what's coming down the pike. I'm not saying as a craft brewer you can't make it without the AB network.
Right.
That would be crazy and stupid, but it was the right decision for us.
Yeah.
We were already in 35 states,
mm-hmm.
You know, and some of those states, Colorado, we certainly sell a lot of beer in,
yeah.
Which, you know, I'll walk tall with a lot of swagger that we sell a lot of beer in Colorado, and there's
yeah.
a lot of competition and really good competition, so
yeah.
we're able to hold our own. But as we move away from our backyard, you know, we may only be an inch deep, you know, as far as distribution goes, and AB's going to help us, you know, go a foot deeper, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you kind of understand my analogy, but yeah, they're an amazing network, and most people in the craft brewing industry, they. Again, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I shouldn't say most. A lot of craft brewers understand, and I think I'm going to use a word that I know someone's, that my phone's probably going to ring soon once this goes out. But I think a little bit of a jealousy of that distribution network that we now have access to.
Yeah,
I think all of us, you know, we're all proud of our beer, and you know, I tell the analogy. I talk to a lot of small brewers when they first start, and they're, you know, Tebow, you know, distribution, you know, you've been part of it and helped grow it, and you know, what should we do?
Yeah,
and I honestly, I tell them, don't.
Yeah,
and it's not that it's not the Breckenridge Brewery. We don't want the competition. I don't do it.
Yeah,
yeah, because I think a lot of people have a hard time defining. You know, fine, okay, and I tell them if you want to distribute, figure out where you're. You know, how far are you going to distribute? Is it 10 blocks, 10 miles, or 10 states? And as you get bigger, it just gets more complicated. No one will ever care as much about your beer as you do.
Right.
But I get it. I remember the first time I think I rolled into Charleston, South Carolina, and Avalanche Amber Ale was on tap.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Now, how I got to Charleston, South Carolina years and years ago, we could barely afford the trip. So what am I doing there? And then I started doing the math.
Yeah.
The beer, how did it get there? What did we sell it for? Me there on that trip to purchase a glass of Avalanche, which actually probably, if I remember correctly, it was old and it didn't taste that good.
Yeah.
After I did the math of who got their cut and all that kind of stuff, it probably cost us, you know, at least $10 to get that keg there.
Yeah.
So why are you doing it? Now, I'm not saying distribution is wrong, but just be careful. It's a different business now, and it's a business of pennies.
Yeah.
Especially on the brewery side of things, and the distribution arm is pretty important.
Okay. It's interesting stuff to me, because I'm a home brewer.
Sure.
I actually made a batch this morning.
Oh, right on, man. What'd you make?
I made a citrus IPA.
Ooh.
So...
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying
it.
You
like all the hops?
I do like the hops.
It's funny, I've really realized lately that hops are fine. I mean, I'm drinking our Mango Mosaic Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Has a nice little bite, you know, a bite similar to like a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yeah.
You know, bite to it, but a lot of mango, which gives it just this wonderful juiciness, but it typically isn't my beer. I'm more of a dark malty beer guy, so
okay.
You can give me a stout on the hottest day of the year, and I'm the happiest guy ever.
Yeah.
Might be a little hard to drink something, you know, a barrel-aged something or other, or, you know, like a Oscar Blues 1050. But,
yeah.
That could be a little tough, but I'll still probably do it.
Oh, yeah. I've got my very first KBS at home to try later.
A good buddy of mine works for those guys.
Yeah.
And so I now have this wonderful link to getting KBS.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was in Dallas, and it's worth the trip to go get it.
I've heard a lot about it, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
So one of the things we're big into is comic books, and you guys do the official beer of the Denver Comic Con.
You know,
how did that come about?
I got to tell you a story first.
Okay.
And I really feel bad, and I will fix this. I was pulling things together back at the brewery in Littleton before I came here, what's the name of your guys?
Nerdcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw that. That's right. That's what it was. And I'm like, these guys have to be comic book nerds.
Oh, yeah.
And we probably have 3, possibly 4 years worth of a commemorative glass we make for the
guy to
sign your face light up. And I meant to bring those.
Oh.
But I promise you, I will get your address and send those to you. We may have just a few left.
Okay.
Nobody get any ideas. We don't really have a whole lot, but I wanted to bring those out for you, and I absolutely totally spaced it.
Oh, wow. Well,
but I'll tell you, I'm honest, I'm not a big comic book guy.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine who's the national sales manager for Ska Brewing Company, I don't know if you're familiar with them out of Durango, his name's Arlo, and he's a very dear friend of mine, and he is just crazy about comic books, and as is Scott. It's kind of their whole idea. The whole brewery started, if you know the history behind it. It's like it started as a comic book story.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. Look into it a little bit.
I will.
It's kind of cool. It's right up your alley. Anyway, so yeah, Comic Con, and he's like, oh my God, Comic Con, blah, blah. And I'm like, whatever, man. You're driving me nuts. And so a guy that used to work for me, he actually moved back to Kentucky to go back into his family business. And his name is Matt, and I don't know exactly how Matt got the connection or who approached him or whatever for that very first Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And he was the one that really kind of set it up. And I have a lot of loyalty to Matt, and I always believed in Matt.
Yeah.
Even when I didn't agree with Matt. And he's like, yeah. He's like, those guys want us to make us a beer. And I'm just like, oh, my God, everybody wants us to make them a beer, and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I hated the idea. I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, to the point where I'm like, Matt, it go. You know, again, I trusted Matt. I'm like, go with it. Run with it. do whatever you want, but it better not cost us any money.
Yeah.
Because, again, we didn't have any. And sure, Matt pulled this thing together. And, to support him, I showed up at one of the Comic-Con events, and he nailed it, and everybody loved it. And we made those commemorative glasses. And
yeah.
We didn't make enough of them.
Yeah.
And it just everybody went crazy about it. And so over the years, I think first right of refusal or whatever.
Yeah.
And with some different people with the Denver Comic-Con, I don't know what they call it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've always come to us and said, hey, we want you to do this again. So, which has been really nice of them, even though some of their people have changed.
And, yeah.
And it's truthfully, it's gotten to the point. And now Ryan Workman, who's our brand manager, really kind of manages that.
Yeah.
And he's into it. And so there's a connection.
Yeah.
We can't connect with everything. But yeah, he runs that. And I would call it probably one of our most successful and probably one of our best connections of any kind of program we do throughout the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all you comic book nerds, man, you're awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I've become a fan.
Yeah. So you guys do a contest where you let a fan name the beer.
Uh-huh.
So this year's was I Am Brute.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. How many submissions do you get for names?
That's the thing, and Ryan could answer that question a little bit better than I, but we do it all through social media.
Yeah.
And so I kind of monitor that a little bit, but I would I'm sure there's an official number, but I bet there's probably 400 or 500 different names.
Wow.
That we kind of sift through.
And so the person that wins gets a prize in, right?
Well, yeah. A lot of it is, yeah, they certainly, especially because of what it is for us, you know, there's all kinds of beer that they get.
I mean,
they become, they might as well be part of our family. And we're, you know, a lot of us work for a brewery for free beer.
Yeah.
And so, they kind of get that kind of status. And there's quite a few other perks. And obviously, you become, they may not be crowned king of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But you are the guy that named the beer of Comic-Con, which I would argue might be a little more powerful.
I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to be paying attention to next year and try to think of some names.
Totally. It's kind of fun. And sometimes, we try to guide people a little bit.
Yeah.
Based on, and, you know, we try to tie it into the theme of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I know it might have been 2 years ago. I don't know. Like, again, time always escapes me, but we did like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Because the theme of Denver Comic Con was, you know, Batman.
Okay.
Some kind of anniversary or something like that.
Yeah. So it was last year Harry Potter then, because it was Snape or Cut?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wrote down some of the names. I love them.
Wait till you get the glassware, too. Right?
Okay.
It's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Because we not only have consumers and fans name it, but then there's, through Comic Con, a comic book artist creates the art for the glassware.
That's very
and
cool.
It's some of the coolest art I've ever seen on beer glasses.
I look forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
So
the way you're looking at me, I have a feeling if I don't come through with this one, you are coming to Colorado and hunting me down.
Well, I'd like to come to Colorado again anyway.
Deal.
So.
Come pick them up.
All right. All right. So I like to end every podcast I do with people. I know you said you like darker beers.
Mm-hmm.
What is your go-to beer?
Yeah. As of late, and I might be a little bit nostalgic because the very first beer our founder of our brewery brewed,
mm-hmm.
The beer that opened the brew pub, is our oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Which we still brew. And so even when I say I'm a dark malty beer guy,
yeah.
Oftentimes I wonder, is it because it was the first beer of Breckenridge and all that? And, you know, it's not a beer you find on tap very often.
Yeah.
You know, if a bar is putting on a dark beer, they're certainly going to put on possibly a Guinness or, well, of course, vanilla porter.
Yeah.
Would come most likely before oatmeal stout. But oatmeal stout you can find on occasion. As a matter of fact, on this bar crawl that we're having here for Breck Trek, there are two bars that have oatmeal stout bottles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I never see. So
yeah.
It just, I mostly drink oatmeal stout at home.
Yeah.
But yes, when I find it somewhere, I have to have one.
Yeah.
I could be the most hungover person in the world, and if I see oatmeal stout on tap at a bar, I have to have one.
Yeah.
But I'd probably say any kind of stout is kind of my go-to.
Yeah.
But specifically, and not just because I'm a company man. I think anybody that's a fan of oatmeal stout is a fan of Breckenridge Brewery's oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
Samuel Smith's makes a great oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
But they aren't that readily available.
Okay. So one last question.
Sure, man.
What local stuff have you tried since you've been here?
You know, that's hopefully, tomorrow's a freer day.
Yeah.
That I'm able to get out.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out today, but I think I kind of overextended myself. So
yeah.
But I do try to hit some local places.
Yeah.
But I will say I've only been to one place so far.
Yeah.
And that was Four Hands.
Oh, they make some good beer.
Yeah, and of course, I always go dark, and oh gosh, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a peanut butter.
The absence of light, the peanut butter chocolate stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm always, I don't know, call me more of an old traditionalist, and we even make beers that, you know, have a lot of crazy flavors like that. We're starting to kind of get into that and stuff like that. But
yeah,
a friend of mine, we started asking when did beer start tasting like food? But it's kind of popular.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm really impressed.
Yeah,
with some of the brewers. I mean, we made a pumpkin spice and nitro pumpkin spice latte. An orange chocolate stout, which
yeah.
is, you know, supposed to be like a, you know, those candies you break on the counter and they split open kind of at the holidays.
Yeah.
And our brewers nailed it. I tell people all the time, you don't have to like all of our beers, you just have to like one.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, yeah, there's some beers I just don't care for. But
yeah.
Back to that Four Hands beer, I was really impressed. It had some great flavor, but it wasn't. You know, peanut butter and sweetness and craziness, you know, punch in the face. So,
right.
Kudos to those guys.
Yeah.
Who else should I try?
Let's see. There's Narrow Gauge, but they do a lot of hoppier stuff. So,
you're like, you won't like it.
Yeah. They're probably my favorite brewery in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They're at a small Italian restaurant in North County. So,
see, right there. Just that right there is where I think craft beer is the coolest industry of all.
What?
It's just so random.
Yeah. Well, Jeff doesn't bottle or can. He just does in the restaurant, and then he does crawlers.
That's right on.
It. Yeah. Doesn't distribute. Does little things here and there. So
he's one of those smart guys.
Yeah. And he's a really good guy, too.
Right on. Cool.
So
most everybody in, I think it was Sam with Dogfish, said that the industry is 99% asshole free.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not that one.
No, you're very cool. I really appreciate you taking time and talking to me. So
always my pleasure, man.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
So the pub crawl is going on right now. So it's pretty much too late to miss out on that. But if you want more information on what's going on, you can go to Breckenridge Brewery at breckbrew.com. It's BreckBrew. There's a link at the top for Breck Trek. Tomorrow night, the Paper Birds concert, it's free. It's at Boogie Nights at Hollywood Casino. Again, you can go on Breckenridge's website and get more information on it. If you're in other cities, everything's listed there for you. If you're interested in following them on social media, you can look them up on Facebook at Breckenridge Brewery, and on Twitter and Instagram, they're at Breck Brew. Again, it's BreckBrew. You can find more information on Nerdcast at nerdcast.com, NYRDCAST. We're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Search Nerdcast, again, NYRDCAST, and you'll find us. In honor of tomorrow night's free concert with Paper Birds, here is their song, I Don't Mind.
There is something in the water, and my mind's a little blank. But there are answers in the breezes, softly whispering. There is freedom on the road, and a book that feels like home. There's a million levers. Give me